And welcome back to Bird's Eye View. When it comes to the Orioles, this is your official source for a lack of insight and for baseless opinion. Today is July 29th, which is a Monday, and you are listening to episode 46 of the program. My name is Jake English, and I'm here to make Scott Magnus look good. Now, if you're hearing my voice, you're most likely listening to us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com, but you can also find us on the web in various locations. You can listen to us on iTunes at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com/iTunes. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/BEVcast. You can tweet at us at birdseyeviewbal, that's birdseyeview, B-A-L. And you can also find us on Miro, Stitcher, DoubleTwist, and a couple of other podcast aggregators.
Yeah, I was on the internet today, and I came across this awesome application. It's called Instagram. Have you ever heard of it?
I may have.
That just sounds cool, that's all. That's my basis for new internet savviness.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive. So, do you still call it the Twitter? Is that how it works?
I thought it was the Twitters.
Ah, the Twitters.
Yeah.
I like it.
Hold up, I gotta send it AOL again. Be right back.
All right, while we're at your insightful bits of knowledge for the week, what is your drink of the week?
I am drinking a Deviant Dale's Indian Pale Ale, which is brewed down in the Carolinas. This beer used to be brewed out in Colorado, but now it's being brewed in North Carolina because of how broad and diverse the distribution network for Dale's has become.
All right. Looks lovely.
It's in a pounder. I'll pound you later, but...
Oof. I myself am drinking nothing.
What?
I am recovering from having my wisdom teeth taken out, so I am enjoying my happy pills and drinking water.
Okay.
I was basically told that my liver was at stake more so than usual if I mixed alcohol with Happy Pills.
Pussies.
Basically.
Yeah, pussies. Yeah.
All right, so that is the drink of the week. A little one-sided this week, but we'll make do.
I don't know what you're talking about. We got alcohol and pharmaceuticals. We're in business.
That's true. And that brings us to my favorite part of the show, which is...
The Brian Roberts Watch!
That's right. It is the Brian Roberts Watch. This week... I have to say, B-Rob, not spectacular, but again, solid as that number 9/bottom-of-the-order guy. Brian Roberts, 6-for-22 this week with a double and 3 RBIs, and he's actually playing, you know, decent defense.
He's playing okay defense. Definitely doesn't have the mobility that you would expect, but it's not terrible. He's made a few nice plays.
Yeah, the thing is,
He's an average or below average second baseman at this moment.
He makes plays where you go, oh, okay, well, that's impressive. And then he ranges to one side and you go, oh, that's what's wrong with Brian Roberts.
Right.
So you take the good and the bad, but so far, you know, so meh, I guess, as we say.
Yeah.
The one part of his game that hasn't returned is the stolen base aspect, but I'm just not sure it's ever coming back.
He might be on strict orders to not steal bases either.
He does still do the dance off of first base thing, and I don't know if you have the same experience, but every time a pitcher throws over when he's at first, I'm like, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god.
You don't go, oh!
Until he gets up, and then he'll dance, and then the pitcher will throw back, and I'm like, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, and then he stands back up, I'm like, oh thank god.
He's just showing off that new hip.
He is. He's
like,
really...
oh yeah, look at this. Look at the moves I can put on my wife at night. Just move him.
He dives back into first base, and as he gets up, he goes,
yeah, exactly.
He's the $40 million man.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we have going on here at the top of the show? There's something going on, Scott, that I feel like we owe it to our listeners to at least acknowledge and discuss.
Do we really have to? Does it really even deserve acknowledgement?
I feel like it does because, you know, the gauntlet has been laid down. And, Scott, there's something of a podcast war going on at the moment with some of the... We'll call them lesser podcasts in the Baltimore Birdosphere.
So there are people that are besmirching our honor, so we're throwing down the gauntlet?
Absolutely. You know, there are podcasts who will go nameless who have said that they are indeed the best podcast in this local area.
Wow,
really? That podcasts about Baltimore sports, and that's
Chivalry
ridiculous.
Is dead if that's the case.
Oh, it is ridiculous. But we decided that we were going to settle this once and for all on August 1st. August 1st, something will be done about this situation. We will no longer stand for them pretending that they are anything other than second-class citizens in this birdosphere.
So, does that make them serfs? And us the nobles? Or
I don't know. I'm on pills. I wasn't going to get political. But
okay.
The thing that's important to note is that
You know who could answer this question for us? The Kingdom of the Netherlands.
The Kingdom of the Netherlands would know a thing or two about serfdom. I absolutely agree. So look, the podcasting war is alive and strong, but we're going to have a bit of a truce on Tuesday, July 30th, for one day only.
So we're like going to Austria?
Basically. Well, we're going to Camden Yards.
Wait. You just called Camden Yards Austria?
No, you called Camden Yards
Austria. No, I said, are we going to Austria? And you said, kinda.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I was going to talk about the night at the yard. Are you okay with that?
I was going to break into Hills of Are Alive with the Sound of Music, but go ahead.
I'm not okay with that. We're going to attend Section 336 Night at the Yard on Tuesday. It is, it's going to be a good time. There are going to be a lot of people there. I think there are going to be like 100 people there.
Really?
I didn't even know Section 336 knew 100 people.
You know, I guess if you give enough tickets out to the homeless. Oh, you know what? The homeless are always looking for a t-shirt.
That's true. That is true.
That homeless also, are always looking for a t-shirt that says Best Sports Podcast, because people just look at it like, pfft.
That's also why we're going, by the way. Free t-shirt and...
free magnet!
It's a warm place to be for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So we're going to be there...
You can even stay warmer by drinking alcohol. Oh, but you're not going to do that because you're a wuss. That's right.
Section 3-3. So I might be drinking by then.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Okay.
Section, either that or it'll be a lot more entertaining. Section 336, Night at the Yard.
We'll be sitting in the upper deck, so, you know, a quick little push, and you could go right over the banister.
Tuesday,
July
30th.
They might give you live tickets for that.
We will be there, and you should, too. You should contact the guys over at Section 336 if you haven't
gotten tickets. Tickets are still available. They can send it over to you in electronic copy. I waited to the last moment, so I got mine last week. But they are willing and ready to send you electronic tickets so that you can come and meet the guys at Section 336 and see who's the inferior competition to us, Bird's Eye View.
That's right. You also get to see, I think the Spastics are going to be there.
Who?
Yeah, I don't know either. Look, I don't know who's going to be there. It's not my thing. We're going to be there. You should be there. It's also the last of the piece between the podcasts. Look, this podcast war is on. It is strong, and everyone else is going down.
And who knows? Maybe there'll be a treaty signing.
Not likely.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm not going to be able to use my left hand enough to write. All right. I think that is all we have at the top of the show. I want to go into the big news that's going to come up in the next couple days.
You think?
I hope.
I doubt. We'll be right back. There are plenty of names out there that are being mentioned with the Orioles.
Can I just stop you for a second?
Okay.
Look, we need to have a talk. If we are going to spend our time on this podcast bringing rare Beatles tracks in, we can't use that one ever again.
There's pretty much only one instance you could actually use that song, and it was this one instance.
You know how much I love the Beatles?
That's probably one of their worst ones.
No, that is not one of their worst ones. That is one of the worst pieces of music ever recorded.
Yeah, they were giving up at that point.
Ever.
Yeah, they were giving up at that point.
It's like Revolution number 9,
and
then that one at the bottom.
Okay, it's pretty bad. It's a bottom three.
All right, please continue.
So anyway, now that Jake is off his soapbox, there are plenty of names out there being mentioned of being in the possible trade market for the Orioles, which is kind of humorous, all things considering, since a week ago we were told the Orioles were completely tapped out, and there's no way that they could add any more individuals to their team.
We are broke, unless it helps other agents and teams to say that we aren't.
Right. So, what can I say besides you got to take it with a grain of salt? But let's go through some of the names that are being mentioned in line with the Orioles. So you have Michael Kadire, Michael Young, Michael Morse.
We just want a Michael. Anybody's Michael will take it.
Raul Ibanez.
No. No. No.
Sometimes you gotta
fight. No.
Okay. Carlos Quentin, Justin Morneau, Jake Peavy, which is probably not happening.
No, I would say no.
Cliff Lee, Bud Norris, and there was brief mention of Eric Bedard, but that doesn't seem to be happening either.
That gets almost as vehement a no from me as Raul Ibanez, but Bedard may have hurt my heart, but he did not crush it. So, no, no, no to Raul Ibanez, only two no's to Eric Bedard.
Okay. So out of all those names, do you see anything on there that you actually are interested in?
Yes and no. I will say that we need a right-handed bat. I think a guy like Michael Young would be a good fit for the team. The type of guy he is. And I also think that Bud Norris would be a great addition to the rotation. I think outside of any of those guys, no. No thanks. You know, you look at how crazy Carlos Quentin has been this season. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. I just don't see who you're giving up for any of those guys.
No, me neither. And here's the thing. You know, there are two distinct ways of looking at the Orioles. The first is the Dan Duquette rosy opinion, where he said today, you know, the Orioles have the gun, the bullets in the gun. We can swing a trade if we need to. Other teams are interested in other guys besides our main stable. And so, you know, I'd like to believe him. Sure, great. But the other side of things is there's been some talk about whether or not the Orioles would be willing to part ways with Dylan Bundy. And when you say that, every Oriole fan cringes. I mean, like, to their core, they cringe.
Especially those of us with his jersey.
Right. But I ask you, I mean, is that a possibility we need to at least get comfortable with?
I think it's always a possibility. I just don't think that's the way this team... We have never seen this team do that in recent memory, so why do we think it's going to happen now?
Yeah, and I think that's a really salient point. I wrote a post today, which you should go to the website and read so that I don't read verbatim to you. But basically what my point there was saying that we're not used to being in a position where we have to give up something good to get something good. Usually we've been giving up something maybe to get something down the line. You know, right. We've been the sellers. We've been rebuilding for the future. The fan base doesn't really know how to react to, we've got some great talent. We need to go get some parts to make a push. And so I think as uncomfortable as we are with dealing a guy with Bundy, and rightfully so, at the same time, we need to take a step back and say to ourselves, you know, this is the way every other team in the league does it.
Yeah, I'll also go back and point the aspect of what is one of my key aspects is he's still a prospect.
Yeah.
There's still a good possibility that he could fail. I'm going to come back to Brian Mattis. Brian Mattis was heralded as a can't-miss prospect.
Sure.
And he ended up being a reliever for this team. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, but again, he was...
It's not fourth overall or whatever he was.
Right, again, it wasn't the fact of the matter of that you thought, okay, he's going to come up here and he's going to be a number two or even a number one pitcher and be able to anchor this rotation. No, he's, you know, doing cleanup duty and also a left-handed specialist in the bullpen. That's not what you expect from first-round draft picks. That's why I don't put as much emphasis on the draft as a lot of people do, because it's really a crapshoot more times than not. It also comes back to development, and the Orioles just do not have a great track record of developing starting pitching.
Yeah.
The last individual that we really had a, you know, starting pitching develop was Messina, really.
Yeah. If we do trade him, we absolutely cannot trade him to a place like Tampa that just churns out good pitching.
Right.
I mean, that would be the worst. But I don't know. Scott, it's impossible to predict trades like Feldman. You know, that class of trade is really Duquette's forte, and it's harder to predict. But judging by what you see now, do you think we're going to make another move before the trade deadline?
I don't think so. That's just my opinion. I just don't think that they're going to give up on Bundy. I don't also, you know, Gausman would be a possibility to be moved, but I don't see him being moved either. So that really just raises the question of who else is in your organization that can be moved. Jonathan Scope could possibly be moved, but why would you? He is, you know, a potential infield candidate for next year's team. So why would you move him in order to weaken yourself? None of these guys jump off the page of me as being an absolutely dominant player. If you look at most of the hitters, the OPS is right around, you know, upper sixes, mid 700s. That's good, but it's not amazing. Does it really make that much of a difference? Eh, maybe. But I'd rather give Henry Urrutia a chance just to see what he does.
I'm sorry, who?
Urrutia?
Not ringing a bell. Who's that?
Henry Urrutia?
Ah, that guy. I know. Yeah. I know him.
I'd rather give him a shot and just see how he continues to do. And I'm not even that impressed with him at this moment, too, but I'd like to try to keep giving him the chance. The other thing that I think is interesting is that Dickerson now is back in AAA, which has a distinct possibility for a call-up later in August and even September when the 40-man roster goes about. He would be an interesting individual to look at.
Yeah, no, I think that Dickerson is definitely an interesting guy to look at. And we're going to get some of those pieces back when the roster expands. You think about the fact that who the hell is Steve Pierce is actually making some progress in the minors now. We'll be able to get a guy like Dickerson, as you mentioned, back. You know, we're going to have some pieces. Scope could be a guy that could come up with the 40-man. I'm not sure that the Orioles are willing to mortgage that much of their future in order to get a push when they think that they've got some nice in-house options. You know, Buck Showalter was talking about Jason Priede as also being a possibility of somebody who's...
Xavier Avery?
No, he did not say that.
Oh, okay.
That was just my inner wish that, okay, that someone would say that out loud. But I agree with you. I don't think that the Orioles are going to make a trade before the trade deadline. The other thing to keep in mind is that July 31st is the non-waiver trade deadline, and the Orioles also have a history of making moves after that,
right?
You know, before the August 1st deadline, so or the August 31st.
Yep.
Before that deadline, so it'll be interesting to see. But no, I agree with you. I don't think so.
All right. With that, let's move on to our next segment, and we're going to talk a little radio.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Easy, big boy.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Well, Scott, it's time that we take one of those hard-hitting issues that we need to cover when it comes to the Orioles, and that is personnel in the broadcast booth. Recently, we were...
Jim Hunter sucks.
No, that is not news. We don't need to cover that. Oh. Constant okay. As the morning star. We were treated recently to Fred Manfred going on vacation, and so, as a fill-in, we got Ben McDonald in the radio broadcast booth. And I don't know if we've talked about it here on the show before, but I love Ben McDonald doing baseball.
I think we talked about this last year briefly with Ben McDonald, and we were really surprised at how good he actually was.
Yeah.
And there's a few people that were really good, and then people like Brady would get in there, and they'd be like, eh. Eddie got in there 1 year, and it was, no. But Ben McDonald was really great, and he had that country draw, and he just had great stories to tell. And it just was like, man, I really feel like I'm sitting down drinking a beer with this guy and hearing stories about what he thinks of the game.
I'm always surprised, first, of how comfortable he sounds behind the microphone for a guy that doesn't do it all the time.
Right.
And second, he's really insightful.
Right.
You know, he had a big league pitching career. He knows things about the game from both sides, from the, you know, this is what the pitcher's trying to do, and this is what the hitter has to deal with. And I really enjoyed him, especially when he was paired with Joe Angel. I thought that was really a treat to listen to. I drove up and down from the beach and got to listen to him on the broadcast. That got me to thinking about, Scott, who is your ideal pairing in the radio and television booth?
Gary Thorne, Jim Palmer.
For everything?
Gary Thorne, Jim Palmer.
At all times?
Gary Thorne, Jim Palmer.
Okay. Even on the radio?
Gary Thorne, Jim Palmer.
All right. I myself, I love Gary Thorne, Jim Palmer, but for me on the radio, it's got to be Angel and McDonald.
Okay. I totally agree with you about Joe Angel. Joe Angel, I definitely could listen to, you know, read the phone book to me. Because he would make it seem thrilling, exciting.
And he would get all the Hispanic names absolutely correct.
Fred Manfra? No.
Yeah, he adds nothing to me. Look, he's a nice guy. You know, he likes what he does, and that's great. But he adds nothing to the broadcast for me.
Well, it's kind of like those people at work. They're really nice people, but then you start work with them, and they're like, man, what a dipshit.
I wish you knew anything about this.
Yeah. How have you worked here for so long and know so little?
Here's the question that I had when it came to Ben McDonald. You know, he was part of that round robin you talked about last year, or maybe it was the year before.
I think it was the year before that,
With the Masson crew. He's done some fill-in work. Do you think that he is being... I don't want to say groomed. Groomed is probably the wrong word. But do you think he's being groomed to take a bigger role when someone else has to step down? Notably, an aging Jim Palmer?
I don't think so. I see Bordick as the fill-in for the aging Jim Palmer. Yeah.
God help us all.
Yeah, but I really do see that being the case.
I don't know. I think of Bordick's involvement in the booth the same way as Flanagan's involvement in the booth. They wanted to keep him in the organization. They wanted to keep him prominent. They wanted to keep him there in the park every day. They didn't have anywhere else to stick him, so they stuck him in the booth. It gives him access to the players. It gives him access to the organization. And when they can figure out something else, then they'll put him back in.
So does that mean we need to start cutting down trees around Bordick's residence?
I knew you were going to go there. As soon as I said Flanagan, I immediately regretted it. But no. The point stands that I was trying to make, Scott, is that I think he's there killing time. Don't. Jeez. I don't think Bordick is there long term in the booth. I can't do it anymore. No, I don't think Bordick is going to be broadcasting forever, because I think he's going to find another job within the organization. And it is my theory that Ben McDonald is being groomed for a larger role in Orioles broadcasting.
You really are an awful individual. Jeez. You're really an awful individual. I hope you really think better of yourself next time and say, is this really the kind of conversation I want to be having with people? I mean, Flanagan means a lot to us Orioles fans, and for you just to take his name in vain like that and make a joke out of it, shame on you, sir.
I love how you can do that with
shame
a straight face.
On you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just got the bell.
Moving on. But no, I do not think Ben McDonald is being groomed. I don't think Ben McDonald is being groomed to replace Fred Manfred. I don't think he's being groomed for TV. I think he's just filling in because he said, okay, we need someone to fill in. Okay, Ben McDonald's the best one.
He's the B crew. All right.
Go grab him.
That's fine. Last thought.
I don't think he has an interest in either. I mean, he's got a great family, and why would he want to go and travel the road all that time?
It's a good question, but, you know, you see a lot of time with baseball players that itch to get back into the game in some capacity.
Yeah, that's fair, but have you really seen Ben McDonald go on, like, the Orioles cruises and be part of, like, Orioles events? No, it just seems like he likes to spend his own time, but again, it's the situation of, hey, do you want to come with us on the road for 2 weeks? And he's like, sure. But after that, I want to go back and spend time with my family.
Fair enough. Last thought I had about the broadcast crew. Do you know that Gary Thorne has been the play-by-play announcer for Masson since 2007?
I did know that.
I just saw that the other day, and it seems like he just joined. But, you know, he's been
there for
6 years? That's a long time.
Yeah.
I guess he's like our guy now, whatever.
He is our guy.
I like our guys.
I like our guys.
All right.
Speaking of liking our guys, let's go talk about one of our guys that we like but is having a tough time.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Thank you. All right, folks. That is the Lonely Man song from The Incredible Hulk. So we're here to talk to you about...
Dude, I have no idea what the hell that song is.
It's from the original TV show for The Incredible Hulk. You never heard that song before?
No, I'm calling you out. This is the second horrible piece of music you've chosen tonight.
Oh, I disagree entirely. It's one of the best TV theme songs of all time.
No, listen. Everyone who's hearing my voice right now, I'm going to need you to tweet at us with either hashtag don't get it or hashtag that's the Hulk. All right, I need to know if you got the fact that that was the Hulk theme or if this was just depressing ass piano music. Got it? Hashtag that's the Hulk. Hashtag don't get it. I want to know. Hell, people sent Jockey to us ridiculously after that 2-hour marathon of the bevies. Somebody's got to respond.
2.5 hour almost.
All right, somebody's got to respond.
2 hours and 17 minutes. So yeah, you know it's the Hulk. You know, you've seen it before on Family Guy, so you guys are good. Just let me know. All right, but Chris Davis really is struggling at the plate. Slump doesn't describe it well enough. His strikeouts are out of control at this moment. He's had, a strikeout in 22 consecutive games, multiple strikeouts, 3 strikeouts on Sunday's game.
It's getting to the point, in 80 at-bats, he's struck out 35 times or something ridiculous
like
that.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's exactly like something like that. The question is, what do you do?
I think it's very clear that you give him a day off to clear his head.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Didn't I just give all the reasons I need to?
No.
He's hurting the team. He struck out 30x times in 70x at-bats. He's completely lost to the plate. And he is too pivotal a piece of our offense to continue to let flounder like that. I'm not saying the man needs to be benched. That is a completely different thing. What I'm saying is that you've got to give him a day to take the pressure off, to ease back into whatever zen he found earlier in the first half, and let him relax and get back to basics. Because when he does that, he's dangerous. But right now, he's pressing. It's very clear he's pressing. Look, I'm no athlete and I'm no therapist, but he is not right at the plate, and you can see it in his eyes after every strikeout. And the strikeouts are mounting, and they're mounting in the middle of the order. You've got to sit him down. Again, not a benching. It's not punitive. At any point, it's mercy at this point.
Okay, I can somewhat understand that, but I just don't see how a mental health day really helps. In fact, I would basically say, oh great, people are really taking notice and they think I have to be treated specially. I'm being sat down. I think it really comes back to the Cal Ripken question of when the streak was going on, and people said, oh, Ripken is, you know, not hitting very well right now. We should set him down and give him a mental health day. But, you know, my thing is, who's your other alternative that's going to be better than Davis?
Well, first of all, nobody is going to be better than Davis. Right now, our backup first baseman is Ryan Flaherty.
I've rest my case then.
That having been said, who the hell is Steve Pierce comes back?
But he's not back.
When he comes back?
If he ever comes back.
Guys like Flaherty and Pierce and whoever the hell else we have backing up Davis are going to need at-bats from time to time.
That's fair, but Ryan Flaherty versus Chris Davis? I'll take Chris Davis.
Okay, well, you're taking a lot of strikeouts right now.
I think I'm going to be taking an equal amount from Ryan Flaherty as well.
It's very possible, but if you take 3 strikeouts from Ryan Flaherty that help result in getting Crush Davis right again versus 3 strikeouts from Chris Davis that don't help Crush get right again, I'd take the 3 strikeouts from Flaherty.
You're making the assumption that just giving him a mental health day is sort of immediately going to solve all these problems.
And you're dismissing the fact that it couldn't help.
It can't. He's got to see the ball and get a feel for where the ball is in the strike zone. The more pitches he sees, the better off he's going to get.
No, I think the problem is that he's not seeing the balls and where they are in the strike zone. I'm suggesting that he needs to work in the cage. I'm suggesting that he also needs to let some of the mental pressure side of the game subside a bit. He's pressing himself to the point where he's not helping the team. Or himself.
Yeah, I just don't see the big deal of why giving him a day off really would help.
Well,
these batters go through this. It happens.
Yeah, they do. Players go through this all the time, which is why players also get occasional days off.
Yeah,
they're not all Ripkins. And I think that's important to point out. You brought up Ripken. Ripken is special. Ripken is in a class all of his own. Ripken is in Cooperstown, and Chris Davis, I love him, but he's not. And he never will be.
All right.
He's a different kind of guy.
That's fine. If we're going to bench Chris Davis for...
No.
Well, okay, if we're going to give Chris Davis a mental health day, then we should put Manny Machado for a mental health day, too.
I wholeheartedly agree.
What?
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. If Machado is struggling for long periods of time, if Machado is hurting the team because he's in the middle of the lineup and not producing for long stretches of time, he needs to either be lowered in the lineup occasionally or he needs to get an occasional day off.
So you're going to put Ryan Flaherty in there for Manny Machado?
Yes.
What about Alexi Casilla?
No, let's not get crazy. There's no need for that.
What is everyone's big obsession with Ryan Flaherty being this American League superstar right now?
It's not Ryan Flaherty. It's anybody other than the two guys that are struggling. Look, we fall in love with players, and I get that.
Then we should have put Matt Wieters on some more mental health days for the pre-All-Star break and put Taylor Teagarden in there some more.
Sure. Especially when we didn't really have a DH.
That's insane!
Are you telling me that you wouldn't have liked to have seen Matt Wieters spend a couple days at DH or get a couple more days off? And I'm talking a handful in the first half of the season. I'm not talking a week at a time. I'm not talking 10 more starts. I'm talking 3.
No, I want Matt Wieters behind the plate as much as possible.
Okay, well, that's all great and fine. I hope you enjoy his knees in September.
I will. He was fine last year.
Okay. Yeah, because that'll clearly go on forever. Don't worry, Scott. You can expect that kind of durability always and forever.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything to protect him, especially when he's struggling.
Look, all I'm going to say is Brian Roberts' wife's knees have been perfectly fine with me, so Matt Wieters' knees will be perfectly fine as well.
I hate to admit it. You got me there.
Yeah.
You got me. I walked right into it.
Yeah.
The point stands.
So does she. Oh,
man. The point stands, Scott, is that I believe that
Chris Davis, the only thing that was standing, by the way,
and to a lesser extent, Manny Machado are not untouchable when it comes to taking a day off and getting some rest. I don't want to hear the word benching. That's not what this is. Buck is a great leader and can find a way to look those guys in the eye in his office and say, this is not a big deal, but I need to help you for a sec.
That's fine. When we go tomorrow night to the Section 336 game and Manny Machado and Chris Davis are both on the bench because Buck wants to get them a mental health day, I'm going to point right at you and say, that's the guy that asked for it right there.
Okay.
Let me say, there may be an angry mob on yours.
There's a good chance of there being an angry mob responding to me at a ball game every time I go.
That's true.
That has nothing to do with it.
Especially with the spastics there.
Right. And me being on pills. But that's neither here nor there. Look, those guys need a day off every once in a while. And that time has clearly shown itself in this run. Yes, it's a slump. Players are going to have slumps. Multiple players are going to have slumps. It happens. I'm not saying that they're terrible. I'm not saying that they're never going to be good again. I'm not saying they need to be benched. I'm saying they need a day off. And that's okay. We should be okay with that.
They're grown men. They're going to act like adults. They'll get out of it. Everyone has bad times, bad weeks, bad months. Carry on, Baltimore. Chris Davis and Manny Machado, I have faith in you. But that being said, you're on notice.
Way to weasel your way out of that one.
Yeah.
All right. I want to move on and address some accusations that got made this week by one of our friends in the Birdosphere.
All right. We'll be right back.
Scott, we've had plenty of discussions over the course of this podcast about the fans in Baltimore and how they've been with the team, but apparently we're not the only ones that are starting to notice this. There was an article written by Andrew Stetka, who does absolutely great work for Utah Street Report, and also is a guest blogger on massinsports.com. And this week he wrote something which is entitled, Which Was Quieter This Weekend, O's Bats or O's Fans? And I encourage everyone to run over to Utah Street Report and to read it. I just want to read you the first paragraph, if you'll indulge me.
Indulge away.
All right. Andrew so eloquently writes, I have to take a moment to call out a collective group of fans. Some are going to take offense to this, but it has to be said anyhow. As bad as the performance on the field was from the Orioles this weekend against Boston, the fans showing in the stands may have been worse. Where was everyone? And those who were there, were you sitting on your hands the entire time? Now, Andrew goes on to talk about the attendance, and he goes on to say, look, you know, I get the fact that you can't go to every game. There are birthday parties and weddings to go to, and not everybody can afford to go to a zillion games. But real fans should be getting out to support the team when they're good, when they're struggling. Real fans should be out there making Red Sox games difficult to get to for Red Sox fans. And, you know, Andrew says he's not seeing it, and I can't help but agree. The Red Sox series was tough to watch.
Yeah, Jake, where were you this weekend?
I was laid up.
Okay.
I think of the birthday, wedding, having your teeth ripped out of your head is a decent excuse.
I disagree entirely. I mean, that's just a weak-ass excuse. All you wanted to do was just sit here with your pain pills. You could easily go with your pain pills and just sat in a beautiful Sunday afternoon and cheered on the Orioles. In fact, I kind of think that's why they lost on Sunday.
I will tell you that if I had been there incoherently drooling and bleeding all over myself, I would not have been perceptively different from a lot of Red Sox fans.
First of all, incoherently drooling and bleeding all over yourself, that sounds like a typical Friday night for you.
It does indeed.
Yeah.
You were actually there for Sunday's game. What can you tell me about the crowd?
It was horrible. Okay. Absolutely horrible. First of all, tons of Red Sox fans. Second of all, Andrew is completely right. The fan base for the game that I went to on Sunday was probably the most dead Oriole fan base that I've seen for several years, at least. It just was an absolute travesty. I mean, people just would not get into the game. There'd be runners on first and second or first and third, and it'd just be, all right, whatever. Big deal, so what? Who cares? And like I said, there was a lot more attention paid to the promotions on the Jumbotron or which vendor was coming by. You know, the only thing that didn't make it an all-time worse is the wave never got started. But the fact that the wave never gets started just shows how bored and apathetic the fans were, where they just didn't even want to really even be there.
You know, judging from TV, it was really disappointing because you watch some series and you get that glimmer of the atmosphere that we saw last year toward the end when everybody was excited, and the beginning of this year,
or even the Yankees series, right, when we were on Sunday Night Baseball.
Absolutely. And then to take that and compare it to a meaningful AL East rivalry, you know, division series in town against a team you hate when our position in the AL East is at stake, you'd think people would be able to get up for that, and clearly they couldn't.
Yeah, it was weird, too. I actually went... We got there about 30 minutes before game started, and we went into Dempsey's because the wife had never been there before.
You're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So anyway, we went in, and I was like, well, we probably won't be able to find a place, but I said, let's go get a drink. So we walk into Dempsey's, and the place is absolutely vacant. There's nobody in there. And I'm like, that's really weird. I figured there'd be a lot more people in here, but there really was nobody there. The whole stadium was very quiet, and it didn't feel like it was completely filled. I know that they sold over 30,000 tickets, but the stadium felt very vacant, and we've been to several 25 and 30,000 ticket games. It just didn't feel like there were that many people there, and I think it was because there were plenty of Red Sox fans, and they just went right to their seat, and there wasn't milling about the concourse. But I can tell you, they were all over the place. They were cheering on their team, but we really didn't have too many people cheering for the Orioles that day.
That's sad to say, and if I could just bring it back to Andrew's article, which again, you should go out and check out on Utah Street Report. He writes, as someone who lives out of state and doesn't get to attend many games, it saddens me to see true Oriole fans not take advantage of the luxury that Camden Yards is. And he's absolutely right. You know, it's a great place to watch baseball, and yeah, fans absolutely need to get on it. It's easy to come in September when the Orioles are gearing up for a pennant race and say, I've been here all along. It's not so easy when the team goes 500 in a road trip after the All-Star break to be supportive. But it's not that difficult to do.
No, it's not that difficult to do. You know, I think back to the Baltimore Orioles, for example, and their inability to go to a game down here as well, as much as I know they would want to, and they just got to have to watch it on television. And they even asked the question, is it really as dead as it feels down there? And it's absolutely dead for this past weekend. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they go into the Houston series, because that should be even lower attendance, to see how the crowd responds. And even next weekend against Seattle, there's no promotions being held for the Seattle series. It's just a series against Seattle with a weekend. Like I said, I'm not sure what it is, whether people are just saying, okay, it's football season now because training camp is here. But this is a darn good team, and people should be going out and supporting it. Tickets are dirt cheap. Why aren't you going to the baseball game? That's my only question for people. Go to the baseball game. Anyone that's listening to the podcast is an obvious fan, or you've stumbled across this because you thought this was something that it isn't. But go to the baseball games as much as you can. I'm going to 3 baseball games in 1 week, which, with 2 kids...
That's almost enough.
That's almost enough. Yeah. It's almost enough. But again, I'm going to take my kids with us next Sunday. Take your kids. Like I said, it's dirt cheap, and if you can get in with the dugout club, it's even dirt cheaper. So why don't you take them? It's cheaper than going to a movie, really.
Right. And if you're going to be there, be enthusiastic. Yeah. You know, don't wait for the board to tell you to cheer.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter knows when to cheer. Of course, she always cheers for Manny Machado, no matter who's up. But
well, there you go.
What can I say? She knows her true daddy.
All right, so I think that is enough uncomfortable chiding of the Orioles fan base for one day.
So, Orioles fans, you're on notice.
That's right. You were ugly this week.
Yeah, you are ugly.
All right, Scott, let's take a quick break. Come back. I want to do some gloating.
Fine.
All right, here we are with our Fantasy Boss segment. And Scott, another win for the good guys last week.
The Red Sox?
No. Last week, as you may remember, the category was walks. Who will take the most walks this week? Scott, you took Chris Davis, who got 2. An impressive feat. I myself took Nick Markakis, who took 3. So by the narrowest of margins, I win, which means, again, I get to pick the category. Scott, are you planning on winning any of these?
I'm a comeback kid.
Okay. All right. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to decide which Orioles reliever will log the most innings pitched.
Okay.
So that is the category. I've laid it down. Complete surprise to you. So I'm going to give you the first pick. Scott, as far as Orioles reliever who will log the most innings this next week, who you got?
I believe I'm going to go with Tommy Hunter.
Tommy Big Game Hunter. All right, that was actually going to be mine. I'm gonna take a hopeful stand here, and I'm going to say that the Orioles reliever who logs the most innings this week will be Jim Johnson, because he will be getting plenty of saves.
Okay. I thought you were going to go with your boy.
TJ McFarland?
Yeah.
No, I don't want him to get more innings, because that means there's a lot of mop-up.
I thought you were going to be picking him.
No. No, Tommy Hunter's a good pick. I think you may erase your
first streak. May be broke.
Here's hoping. All right, so that is the Fantasy Boss segment for this week. And I think that'll bring us to...
The good, the bad, and the ugly. That's right, folks. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I'm going to get started this week. My good this week is going to be the individual you picked for Fantasy Boss, which was Nick Markakis. You know, I gave Nick Markakis some hard time last week for being in the number three hole and whether he should actually be there. But Nick Markakis responded in excellent fashion this week. Just did an absolute great job at the plate. 393 average, 452 on base percentage, 844 OPS. Bravo, Nick Markakis. Way to prove me wrong like you always do.
Yeah, and especially when everybody else is struggling, good to see some production there at the top of the lineup.
That's right. Consistency, consistency, consistency.
Absolutely.
All right, who's your good for the week?
My good for the week is Chris Tillman. Tillman, you know, we keep having this discussion. Is he an ace? Is he not? I think you and I have both agreed that that's not really fair to put that mantle on him at this point. But all he does is go out there and have great games. This week he won a game. He went seven strong innings. He only gave up two hits with no earned runs. So Chris Tillman, again, any way you crack it, had a fantastic week, and he was good.
He's not sexy, that's the whole thing.
You know, and the thing is, he piles up so many pitches at the beginning of the game, you think he's never going to make it, but I mean, he's got the stamina to go deep, even if it means he has to throw. He's averaged well over 100 pitches this season.
Oh, I know he's got the stamina to go deep.
Oh, my. All right, who's your bad for this week?
My bad for this week is going to be Miguel Gonzalez.
Okay.
Only being able to go 4 2/3 this past week against the Kansas City Royals, and dropping that fourth game really put a damper on this week for me.
Yeah, was not a good showing.
No. Again, if you looked at his pitches, all his pitches were elevated from where they normally are. And Palmer was making a lot of notes of that as well. But the pitches just didn't seem to have the control that you normally see from Miguel Gonzalez. And with him being a finesse pitcher, he's just going to get hammered when he doesn't have control of his pitches.
Yeah, and he missed up, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, very unlike him, but boy, when it happens, it gets ugly.
Yeah.
All right, my bad for this week is Jaro Asensio.
He gone.
And the reason he gone is because he was bad. The worst part was that he got brought in what was probably his last game because they had to go back to a 7-man bullpen. The first thing he did was give up a home run. He was clearly overmatched up here, and he just had no business being on the roster.
So in summary, he gone.
All right, who's your ugly?
My ugly for this week is going to have to be Manny Machado.
Oh, say it ain't so.
I'm sorry.
Don't let your daughter hear it.
I'm crushing my daughter's dreams, but 107 average, 138 on base percentage, 321 slugging, 459 OPS. He's just been struggling at the plate.
That was a lot of numbers. Is that good?
That's bad.
Ooh.
No doubles this week either. Three hits out of, 28 at-bats. Just a really poor performance overall by him. He did have three RBIs. Good for him. But, man, just you expect a lot more in that number two hole.
Yeah, that's pretty ugly.
Yeah. All right, who's your ugly?
My ugly is Chris Davis.
Okay, no big surprise there.
No, he's just not getting it done. First of all, he's got 15 strike. He had 15 strikeouts this week, which is more than double than the next guy on the list. He went 5 for 26. And in that time, he did manage to collect a double, but he's just a strikeout machine. He batted 192. His on-base percentage was 241. He's just a black hole in the middle of the lineup right now, and he looks lost.
Why does that to be black?
Because that's the astrological... No, I guess it's not astrological. It's the astronomical reference.
Racist. But yeah, Chris Davis and Manny Machado both are feeling like they are definite candidates for ugly for this week. So Manny Machado and Chris Davis, like we told you before, you're on notice.
Clean it up.
Clean that up.
All right, so that is it. That is the good, the bad, and the ugly, and there was plenty of each. Scott, before we get together next week, what are we thinking about?
Well, we got an excellent opportunity here, entering into the soft portion of the schedule. And again, I put that in quotation marks of soft because they're still major league teams. They still can go out there and kick your butt just like the White Sox did earlier this season to us.
Yeah, but I think the fans will absolutely lose their shit if the Orioles lose to both the Astros and the Mariners.
Right, I totally agree with you. I think the Orioles need to take it to the Astros and to the Mariners and basically win both those series. In fact, probably a sweep is in order for at least one of those teams. But if they win both their series, I think the fans will be happy with it, but I think there'll still be rumblings of, grrr, it should be better than this. But, you know, take this weekend, Baltimore. Go see a game, because next week they go to the NL West, and you're not going to be able to see that many games unless you're diehard and you're going to stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning. So go out there. Support them against Houston. Yes, they're in the American League. Surprise, surprise. This isn't Interleague. I know it may seem like Interleague, but it's not Interleague.
Their back is to the wall. They've got to perform well, so I'm interested to see how they bounce back. All right, programming note, next week I am on vacation, so we will have our show as scheduled. I think I will go ahead and make a remote call, much as I did from the beach.
Are you going to sit in the back of your car and drink beer?
Very possible, but I'm going to leave the bell at home.
Okay.
I'm going to leave the bell at home.
I'll bring it with me.
We've already talked about Night at the Yard, Tuesday, July 30th. If you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it on Tuesday. Come to the Yard, Section 3367, a great event. You should come. And Podcast War is on.
Podcast War is on.
All right. With that, Scott, I'm out of clever ideas. So with that, I think I'm just going to say adieu, adieu.
See you later, Baltimore.